Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Browers Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. We were in some tape over the yesterday's show coming in. I had a bunch of stuff we're getting done with the website and getting it updated. So we'll give you guys a update here in the next couple days. Start having you guys run some test orders on it, give some feedback on the new website. Or you can use the old website that still works fantastically well as Classic Health Masters. Either which way, we're going to be operating both websites now to give everybody the easiest, most effective, most efficient ability to get your products to you as soon as possible and get you the information and nutrition info and ideas and concepts and truth that you guys need. So thank you so much again for the support of healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. I'll also be on the Hagman Report tonight. Got a bunch of stuff we're going to be covering on there with Doug, some updates we're going to be doing. So again, be sure to stay tuned for that at healthmasters.com and also on the Hagman Report tonight. And if you guys saw it, you know the magnesium brain food formula on sale for the last day of product of the week. You voted, and it won on sale right now. And again, be sure to vote for what you want to see also, too, when tomorrow – I think the vitamin C, yeah, we're the vitamin C and also the healthy testosterone support kit, which actually, again, that's another kit that I put on sale or as far as up for vote on the website at Health Masters. So be sure to check that out and take advantage of the magnesium brain food last day sale on healthmasters.com. And, you know, one article I was reading here, and this is a pretty cool article that came out. It's actually a couple of years ago from 2021. And it goes into detail, though, here. And it talks about, it says why 80% of the U.S. are deficient in magnesium. It goes on to say here how magnesium deficiency is often misdiagnosed because it does not show up in blood tests. Only 1% of the body's magnesium is stored in the blood. Most doctors and laboratories don't even include magnesium status in routine blood tests. Thus, many doctors don't know when their patients are deficient in magnesium, and even studies show the majority of Americans are deficient in magnesium. And so the crazy part about this is the truth that goes on this article. It says it exposes a gaping hole in modern medicine that explains a good deal of death and disease because magnesium deficiency is largely overlooked by millions of Americans suffering needlessly or having their symptoms treated with expensive drugs when they simply could be cured with high-quality magnesium. And part of the article here says one of the symptoms of magnesium deficiency and how it first starts out. It says the first symptoms of deficiency can be subtle. As magnesium is stored in the tissue, leg cramps, foot pains, and muscle twitches can be the first sign. Right? I told you about that one of my friends. They're having issues with like their eye twitching underneath their eye. I put them on the magnesium brain food within 3 days, completely stopped, has not even come back. And it goes on to say here, it says other early signs of deficiency include loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, weakness, magnesium deficiency worsens. You start having numbness, tingling, can have seizures, personality changes, abnormal heart rhythms, coronary spasms. A full outline of magnesium deficiency was presented in a recent article by Dr. Sidney Baker titled, Magnesium Deficiency Can Affect Virtually Every Organ in the Body. With regard to skeletal muscle, one may experience twitches, cramps, muscle tension, muscle soreness, backaches, neck pain, tension headaches, and jaw joint dysfunction. Also, one may experience chest tightness or particular sensations where they can't take a deep breath. Sometimes a person may sigh a lot as well. One thing that was talking about here with TMJ and jaw joints. Now, what's interesting about this is I never realized this a lot until I started getting older as far as when you start having issues where your jaw starts getting tight, especially if you're eating a lot of food, a lot of regular meals, if you're training really heavy, you'll notice sometimes your jaw can get tight. And I've heard this now from a lot of bodybuilders that they find later on when they start supplementing with magnesium, they actually reduce a lot of these issues. They don't have any issues with TMJ because a lot of times, especially when you're training really hard, you're exercising a lot, your body's burning a boatload of magnesium, especially if you're putting on a bunch of muscle tissue. And on top of that, a lot of times you're usually sweating more. You're basically pushing more water out of your system, especially if you're doing any type of sauna or you're outside. You're sweating even more, which means you're even losing more magnesium. And it goes on to say here that essentially symptoms and signs of magnesium deficiency discuss laboratory testing for this common condition. Continuing with symptoms of magnesium deficiency, the central nervous system is markedly affected. Symptoms can include insomnia, anxiety, hyperactivity, and restlessness with constant movements and panic attacks. This is what I talked about last week, where I found that a lot of times individuals that are having issues with so-called anxiety or panic attacks, insomnia, so forth, they start running the magnesium brain food. A lot of those symptoms are in most cases removed. They disappear a lot of times. And on top of that, too, high blood pressure can be also affected. Magnesium is needed for every cell in the body, including the brain, and it's one of the most important minerals when considering supplementation because it's vital role in hundreds of enzyme systems and functions related to reactions and cell metabolism, as well as synthesis of proteins for the utilization of fats and carbs. And so that is why it's also so important for detoxifying and burning body fat, because it's used and metabolizing and processing fats and carbohydrates. It's also needed for production of specific detoxification enzymes that are important for energy production related to cell detoxification. And magnesium deficiency affects virtually every system in the body. So I want to kind of start off with that here, because I got a lot of emails over the weekend where people are asking these questions. I actually had a few customers that were on Team underscore Health Master, our Instagram account. And this is why I've asked you guys to do this for me, as far as go on there and follow the account if you do have an Instagram, and basically write comments and give everybody feedback. Because I told you, when we started back our Team Health Masters account, it started all back up from the ground. I want it to be 100% organic. Like, I'm not buying likes or comments or, you know, stuff like that. I'm not doing any of that. It's a natural, organic account. I want people to get on there. I want people to interact with one another. I want people to give feedback. I want people to be engaged. And this was interesting. This is from last night. I got a comment on there from the Magnesium Brain Food. It says, love the product. My son has had leg pains at times. When he has the Magnesium Brain Food drink, the cramps and pains are completely gone. Thank you so much. Another one that came in this morning said, this product has changed my life. I used to have muscle spasms in my back and cramps in my legs every night. I tossed and turned every night for 7 years. My son introduced me to your show and your products. Thank you for Magnesium Brain Food. Now I sleep so soundly. And so what's crazy about this is, you know, and when I talk to people about this in so many cases, it's not one of these difficult concepts to understand. But what happens is so many times people that have symptoms that are related to just what I talked about, they go to the doctor. And the doctor, of course, never does any blood work as far as for magnesium. Most cases don't even check D3. They look at them. They go, okay, well, you're having restless leg syndrome and muscle spasms. Well, I got a pharmaceutical drug for you on that. Oh, you're having a little bit of anxiety? I got a Xanax for you on that. And so they start putting him on this cocktail of drugs that in most cases has significant long-term side effects. When in reality, they probably could have just thrown a couple scoops of magnesium in their diet and been way better off for way less money, way better health benefits, and actually been feeding their cells instead of keeping their cells starved and just pumping drugs in to try to mask the symptoms. Always look at the root cause, a lot of issues that you're running into if you're having a problem with something, and look at it from a natural approach. And that's why, again, I encourage you, take advantage of it on sale for the last day at Magnesium Brain Food at healthmasters.com for the product of the week. Also, too, in other news, this is a cool article that I found here that I was going through. Let me pull it up real quick here. And it was talking about how essentially what we're starting to see is the aspects of what kind of America is starting to run through here. And it wasn't really – it was kind of a disturbing article, but it was with Ron Paul. And he titled it, it said, Final Nail in American's Coffin? ? Now, I haven't discussed this yet because I wasn't on the show yesterday, but you guys have already seen now this just – monstrosity, this atrocious bill that got passed at the end of the week that essentially is giving almost $100 billion out in aggregate, grossly misnamed the National Security Supplemental Bill, guarantees that essentially Ukraine will be getting another $60 billion. I mean, and we're talking, guys, we're not talking about like 4 or 5 million. We're not talking a couple hundred million. We're talking tens of billions of dollars. And what's crazy, the most disturbing part, and I'm sure a lot of you saw this, and it was almost nauseating to watch, when you had Congress stand up and cheer and clap and wave Ukrainian flags after they passed this bill. Not only is that a breach of ethics when it comes to congressional behavior, you're never supposed to be waving a foreign flag inside congressional chambers, ever, period. Under any circumstances, that's treasonous at the highest level, and it would have been treated as so just years back. However, what I've personally been told now from a lot of individuals that are essentially been in and out of different government contracts and programs is that essentially I think it's clear to everybody now that there's an enormous amount of money that's being cycled back into Congress and the Senate in order to push these bills. That's why these guys are so excited, because they know they just probably each got a $2, 3, 4, 5, 6 million bonus in an offshore bank account passing this bill. We are completely insolvent as a country. I mean, we're adding on, what, $1 trillion in debt every 100 days now, as far as the amount of money that we're racking up. And I think, you know, I think it should be insulting to every single American, the fact that right after tax day, where the IRS essentially steals people's money at gunpoint on April 15th, just a few short days later, they pass this bill. And on top of that as well, don't forget that Israel's getting another $28 billion to continue their war against whoever they're fighting allegedly over there, because, you know, they're fighting Hamas. That's the storyline. But again, I guess it's our responsibility to give them almost a third of, you know, almost a third of $100 billion, you know, to keep fighting their support. And what's crazy about it, you know, I was watching this article and I was reading it, and it made a valid point. And it said, now, in the name of supporting Israel, the U.S. is now being turned into an anti-free speech tyrannical dictatorship. And it talked about how essentially so many people are starting to question this entire Gaza narrative and what's continually happening, especially the fact that we're giving insane amounts of money over there. And so now it's being used as an excuse to simply get rid of the First Amendment if you question anything Israel does. I've told you before, I don't care about Israel. I don't care about Ukraine. I don't care about really any other country outside the United States right now. My main focus is the United States of America, the citizens that live here, my friends, family, and everyone else is continually being affected negatively by a lot of these decisions, and why it's so important to focus on what we have on the ground here. It was beyond disturbing to me when there are people that are going into these school groups now, and these teachers, some of these communists, that are promoting this unbelievably perverted agenda now, with this transgender ideology being pushed on 5- and 6-year-olds. The fact that you have this critical race theory and all these diversity and inclusion groups now that are coming in now and trying to talk to children about these topics that shouldn't even be talked about to 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds. But then you have so many individuals that are sitting there staring at the television, drooling on themselves, claiming to be Christians. They go, well, we need to support Israel. Doesn't matter what's happening here. Doesn't matter what's happening to our kids. Doesn't matter anything. You need to basically support Israel because, well, it's science, guys. Trust the science. Don't question anything that's going on. Trust the science. And now we're having these literal excuses to remove the First Amendment from anybody from being able to speak freely. If you say anything about Israel now, you're basically anti-Semitic. If you question this bill that just went through, you're anti-Semitic. If you ask why they're continually butchering basically individuals on the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians, you're anti-Semitic. If you even say anything about anything related to the country of Israel, now you're anti-Semitic. And so what they're doing now is they're using this as this excuse to try to remove the ability from people to be able to speak freely. And now you guys have seen now where the bill went through, essentially promoting and allowing essentially the rest of the privacy that we barely had left to be handed over to the CIA and the NSA now with this new spy bill. Essentially, it says the U.S. government has the ability to spy on you at any point in time without a warrant if they remotely think that there could be anything involved with you in another country, or if you possibly could be linked to another country if you say something about another country. Doesn't really matter what we deem it is. We're going to basically spy on you without a warrant at any point in time. Now, we already know from what Snowden came out with and the revelations that happened with that, and you can watch that movie as far as Snowden. The fact that what we saw as far as our rights after the 9/11 was insanity. And so that's what Ron Paul goes into in this article here now, how we're watching this creeping forward. And now we talked about how right in the middle of this bill to blow another $100 billion in funds overseas for more wars, this new version of the TikTok ban, which essentially gives the president and future presidents the power to shut down any website if they simply declare them to be a foreign adversary-controlled website. This, again, is another excuse. I told you guys before, I don't have TikTok. I don't care for TikTok. I don't promote TikTok. I don't like TikTok. I'm not going to support TikTok, period. So don't try to sit there and say that I'm a TikTok sympathizer, because I'm not, and everybody knows me knows I'm not. However, when you start allowing a government entity that is known for absolute corruption to start coming in and saying, listen, it doesn't matter what happens and what truth is going out there, if we deem any site to be something that we don't like because a foreign adversary could possibly be behind it, guys, the U.S. government is the direct adversary of the U.S. Constitution. I'm just going to be real blunt on that. We're dealing with a rogue government now. It's just, I mean, that's a very dark topic. It's kind of a weird show today because there's a lot of stuff going on, but I've gotten a lot of phone calls over the last couple of days from people that are involved in various different things all throughout the country. And there's a very, very direct consensus of what we're starting to watch now, and it is just that. we have a rogue government. Over almost 80% of the United States in polls does not support any more of this Ukrainian war, period. It's almost 80%. The last one I saw was like 78%. Yeah, why did we have Congress go in and pass this bill overwhelmingly? Why? Why is it that you're seeing inflation at all-time highs, but yet we're pulling more money out at interest, borrowing money from the Fed to take money to give to other countries? That concept eludes a lot of people. We don't have a glut. We don't have a slush fund of extra cash in the United States right now. This money you're giving to Israel and Ukraine is being borrowed from the Federal Reserve at 5.5% to 6% interest, and we're sending it to other countries so they can blow it and then give the money back to congressional individuals that are on the take so they can get their bribery to pass these bills. That's how corrupt it's gotten now. We're borrowing money at high interest rates to give it to other countries so the money can circulate and come back and be paid to the groups that are supposed to be representing the government by the people, for the people. That's just as direct as it's getting now. And so you got to ask yourself the question, what kind of American are you? Just fact of the matter of that. What kind of American are you? Are you one that's going to actually think outside the box? Are you going to continue to support the Constitution, or are you just going to blindly go along with the demise of the United States and sit there quietly and pretend like it's not happening? You know, I saw an article posted about that, and it was bringing it up about that movie Civil War. I told you, and I didn't go into real detail in the reviews on it. It's a very interesting movie. It's not a feel-good movie. You get out, you walk out of the movie, it's pretty rough. And what's interesting, though, that there's a scene in the movie, essentially, where if you notice in the film, there's no direct fight of who's actually fighting who. You never really get that concept. Everybody's like fighting each other. And that's what I think the entire topic of discussion is with it. And that was the entire premise of the movie, is that there's no definitive convictions anymore of the United States population in most cases. Everybody's just kind of swayed and thrown to whatever direction they're told to with mainstream media propaganda. They don't have a basis saying, this is what I truly believe, this is what I truly want. Right or wrong, that's what my standpoint is. Everybody's just kind of like, well, no, this is the topic now. This is the topic now. And everybody's getting to the point now where they're almost contradicting themselves, where they want to say, well, I'm a patriot. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in free speech. I believe in the Second Amendment. Oh, but you can't talk about Israel. We're, you know, you need to get shadow banned. You talk about Israel. They need another $28 billion at interest borrowed from Congress that is basically lying to us, telling us that essentially they're doing this to prevent a war with the rest of the world. It's a complete lie. Everything you hear about Ukraine is a lie when it comes to the funding over there, even the weapons trafficking that is being funneled to all the other Middle Eastern countries that we're getting prepped up for another war. They had to get the weapon systems into basically all these different areas, and they've done it now. They've done great jobs at it. There's a reason why they did another contract for, 12,000 Javelin missiles to go over to Ukraine. And they can't account for any of these weapons. And so, again, that's kind of one of the points in the movie. When he asks him, he goes, we're Americans. And he goes, what kind of Americans are you? It's a very realistic question. It's kind of a concept you start looking at it. Like, there's a whole lot of factions of this now that nobody's really starting to address, is the fact that what side are you on? What do you really support? Because you cannot be contradictory in this topic anymore. You're either one way or you're another way. But these individuals that are trying to pick and choose what they are while being completely contradictory doesn't make any sense to me. So, again, it's just a topic. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm not telling you who to go with. I'm not telling you who to talk to. I'm not telling you any of that. What I'm saying is make your own decisions on a lot of these things that are happening right now, because some very strange things happening. And also, too, speaking of that bill earlier, this is how unbelievably corrupt it is. You want to know what's happening at the southern border. You want to know how it's getting funded. Look no further than the bill that just happened on Friday. While Congress failed to pass any type of border security bill over the weekend, they all failed. It makes a flurry of international aid to Ukraine and Israel. They did set aside in that bill $3.5 billion for migration and refugee assistance to the State Department to address humanitarian needs for vulnerable populations and communities throughout the world. While written in an absurdly broad brushstroke that is going to be open to vast interpretation, essentially it's a blank check to the State Department. Essentially what it goes into, an oil field rando's got a big social media presence that follows a lot of political stuff, came out and he said the funds, essentially, if you look at the way it's written, they're open-ended to make sure they can be used to pay the NGOs coordinating the illegal invasion of the southern border and providing all the freebies once they're in. That's where the money's coming from. That $3.5 billion, that's why it's being written so vaguely in that bill. It's an open-ended blank check to help out with migrants and refugee assistance programs through the State Department, meaning they're handing them $3.5 billion, and there's no strings attached to it. Here's $3.5 billion check. handle refugee and migration assistance throughout the country as you see fit. And then they divvy the money up to these NGOs that are going in now, and they're funding these groups. Remember I told you guys a year and a half ago, and everybody kind of laughed at me at first, and then everybody started going, man, you got a valid point. With that whole group, what is it, 25, 30,000 individuals. One group said there was 50,000 coming up all the way from Argentina to the southern border, trying to come into whatever it was, whatever the border they were coming into down in Texas. I said, how in the world did that large of a group make a 2,500-mile trek without any type of significant support and logistics coordination? How does that happen? How can you have tens of thousands of people come across that length of it? It's like literally walking from like Texas, or it's like walking from California to Florida with 40, 50,000 people. How do you feed that many people? There's no way you're keeping that amount of food and backpacks on your person the entire way, as far as with MREs. No possible way you can carry that much food that long. You're going to need resupply trucks, enormous amounts of resupply trucks. How do you have so much water, water filtration, shoes, socks, clothes? There's no way you're carrying all that on your person, not with 50,000 people. Again, now you see where the money's coming from. Now you know how they're funding it, right with this bill where they're giving money to everybody but America. That should be the name of the bill. We support everybody but America bill. Here's $100 billion. Slam the gavel. By the way, America sucks, and we hate our civilians and citizens here, and we love everybody else. That's literally what they should have said. At least they would have been honest with us, and it wouldn't have been as insulting, them waving flags, laughing at everybody. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's interesting as well. I saw this article here that was pulling up, and it was talking about how essentially the Democrats now are trying to sponsor a bill for abortions up to birth statewide, federal-wide, countrywide, so to speak, excuse me. And essentially they're talking about multiple excerpts that they want to look at now as far as with H.R. 12 and its Senate companion bill S-701. And essentially it goes into detail on trying to make it federal law to be able to do full-term abortions right up to the time of birth now federally. Meaning essentially if a state passes a bill against this, it'll be a violation of violating federal laws. This is an issue that we ran into after the Civil War. This is a really big problem that we had. The states' rights were always supposed to trump federal rights. The states were more important than the federal government, period. That's the way the United States was put together. That's why it's called the United States. There were states that were united together. And yet every state had the right to pick and choose what laws they wanted to have and they wanted to enforce. That way, in a republic, you have a certain state that may be leaning towards certain groups or certain values or certain ethics and certain laws. If you didn't like it or you did like it, that was something you could support in groups of people that were like-minded, were in that state and that community. They helped to expand that mindset. Because as we know, even in a republic, everybody's got different viewpoints. And that's perfectly fine. That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's what makes us all human, right? So you have the ability to have state, various different states that have the ability to make their own laws. Well, what happened was after the Civil War, when essentially everything was federalized, the feds came in essentially at that point. They made all the states sign they were never going to secede again, and essentially they were going to be under the umbrella of the federal government. So it didn't matter if a state came in and said, we don't like this, we're not going to do this, this is states' rights. Federal government said, federal law trumps state law, deal with it, get over it, kick rocks, you're going to follow order. This has been one of the biggest fights and disputes that you've seen now in Texas, and you had it in Montana against the ATF. Where the states are going, we're going to allow suppressors, silencers, to be produced and manufactured in our state, and they can't leave our state, and they're basically legal to buy without going through these just insane tax stamps and federal background checks for a muffler. Well, then ATF comes in and says, no, you can't do that. We're the feds. We're the biggest idiots on the planet, so we get to tell you what to do with our bad ideas factory because, again, we're the ATF. We like giving machine guns to the Mexican drug cartel, but we're going to tell the states they can't legalize suppressors because that's how inept that entire group is that operates in ATF and those oath breakers in that alphabet agency. So then the state goes, no, that's not accurate. We're actually going to produce them, and we're going to sell them, and we're going to use them in the state, and if you don't like it, you guys can basically come over here and take them. The ATF goes, well, we can't do that because we don't have the balls to do anything except burn down Waco and kill innocent women and children and shoot Randy Weaver's wife in the face with a 308 and all kinds of other various things the ATF's great at doing, violating the Constitution. That we're not going to do that, so we're going to now sue the state and we're going to go back and forth. This is what happens when you have an overreaching federal government. This is what happens, and this is where it's going right now. And so essentially, once you start seeing these things start to occur and you start watching them happen in real time, it goes back to original comment that I made a second ago. What kind of American are you? where's your standpoint going to be? Are you going to be getting involved locally? Are you going to be getting involved with different groups to help support the Constitution, the values of this great country, along with biblical values? Or are you going to continue to go along with what the mainstream media tells you and keep deciding things like if we start having federal full-term abortion laws that states are going to be held to abide by, are we going to support them in these states? Are we going to push back? Just a question that I'm asking. Everybody can come to your own conclusion on it. Also, too, in other news, speaking of health topics, I was getting another health topic over here. Now, this is an interesting topic, and it's talking about the aspects of the this is funny, and it's not actually, this isn't funny at all. It's just ironic because now the CDC comes out now with a new study, and they're saying the COVID vaccine protection among children plummets within months. This is what you call direct scientific propaganda to try to force people to continue to do things they don't want to do to their children, even though they know it's against their health. They're told to do so, and they believe the lies. The CDC comes out now, and they says why it's recommended for children to continue to get updated COVID boosters now, indefinitely. Not joking. You guys wait till you hear this. Children, this is what the CDC says now. Children who received the original COVID-19 have little protection now against hospitalization just months after the vaccination, according to the study of the CDC. Children initially had a 52% protection against hospitalization. Now, first off, let me stop real quick there. The reason why that entire statement is completely erroneous is because it has no basis in reality. You can come up with any number you want with that. If somebody gets the shot, there's a 52% chance that they're not going to be hospitalized once they contract COVID. Well, why is it called a vaccine then if it's supposed to prevent you from getting COVID? Why are we basing the efficacy off a vaccine immunization that's supposed to give you immunity against a virus? Why are we basing the efficacy off that shot on the percentage of people that go to the hospital once they contract it? Shouldn't it be you don't contract it because you have an immunity towards the virus because you got the immunization? That's kind of the concept that it's always been. So this entire sentence is already so misconstrued and used the manipulation topic. Well, now they're saying, well, that 52% reduction in hospitalization once the kids contract COVID after they get the immunization, the effectiveness now, it's plummeted. I'm sorry to say, guys, your children need more vaccine boosters because now it's only 19% after 4 months. So after 4 months, your child only has a 19% chance of not being hospitalized once they contract COVID because the immunization is no longer working after 4 months. They said protection of the so-called critical illness has dropped sharply, researchers said, meaning booster shots need to be applied on a regular basis to your children because, well, it's science, guys. Since the immunization apparently doesn't work for crap, I don't know what this is supposed to be with an immunization. How does an immunization not prevent you from catching it? And then they sit there and say, well, not only did it not prevent you from catching it, you only have an 18% chance from not going to the hospital once you catch it. Gosh, kind of sounds like it's one of the most pathetic immunization vaccines on the market. Kind of like it never was a vaccine to begin with. Ooh, maybe that's not what it ever was supposed to be. Maybe that's why the CDC rewrote the definition of a vaccine before the COVID shot was ever produced. Brought that up in 2020. A lot of people never even understood that. They said they went here and the study involved children ages 5 to 18 who were hospitalized with COVID-19 and tested positive after they got the COVID shot. So the data, the entire basis of data they're basing this on is looking at children that got hospitalized with COVID after they got the COVID shot. Does it ever come to anybody's mind that possibly the shot is what's causing people to get sick and go to the hospital? I don't know. Just concept, I thought I would throw that out there. So again, now the CDC and their infinite stupidity and nonsensical propaganda, they are now saying that essentially once a year, every child needs to get their COVID booster shot for the foreseeable future. So I guess until the kid either dies, and I'm not trying to say that grimly, and gets so unbelievably sick from getting these shots, or essentially the parent finally puts their foot down and gets a, you know, stomach to them and says, I'm not going to allow my child to be subjected to scientific research studying on them without informed consent. Because quite frankly, I told you guys before, the topic of informed consent has pretty much been dissolved. You can't say that informed consent is informed consent when you lie to somebody about the results that are happening with a certain product or drug or test that's going on. If I sit there and say magnesium brain food, it does fantastic for you, and it has no issues whatsoever, and it works fantastic, and that's it. And then you take it, and somebody gets unbelievably sick from it. And I go, well, by the way, those are some of the side effects that occurred from it. Now, granted, there's like zero side effects from this product whatsoever, only positive effects. Why? Because I produce natural supplements. I don't produce drugs. When they come in now and they say the vaccine is totally safe and effective, it prevents you from hospitalizations. It prevents you from getting it and contracting it. And then once you get it, you get all the above. And they go, well, by the way, those numbers were kind of inflated. It wasn't really that accurate. That's not informed consent. That's manipulation. That's lying flat out. There is no informed consent to that. And that's one of the biggest things in scientific research in the communities. They even learned about in the psychology program is that informed consent is crucial. This is something that has been around now, especially after World War II, where essentially people have to have the ability to say, I'm going to consent to this operation. I'm going to consent to this test. Once you start removing that element, the violations of human rights are just obscene. And on top of that as well, what kind of civilization are we living in if we're lying and subjecting people in order to manipulate them to taking a drug that doesn't work so we can see what horrific side effects occur or so we can start doing gene therapy to them against their knowledge? I mean, but hey, it's the same government just gave $100 billion of your money away over the weekend. So again, you know, they do this for science and safety. It's for your protection. You stop complaining about it. I just need to give them more money and cut them another check because, you know, it's science. It's science. And this is what we run into now on a regular basis that I'm starting to see. A lot of people are starting to wake up. And that's why I love getting the feedback from the customers as far as on Team Health Masters. I love getting emails because I actually love hearing positive things. I really do. I love hearing positive results from natural nutrients that are designed to feed your cells like the magnesium brain food that people have fantastic results from on a regular basis. I like seeing that positivity in society because, quite frankly, as we all know, there's a whole lot of very strange things that have been happening and way too much lying has been going on. I don't know if you guys have had enough of it, but I've gotten very sick of the constant manipulation on a regular basis. If somebody's got it out for me, if somebody's got something to, you know, upset with me, I'm perfectly okay with that. They can get in line if somebody doesn't like me. But again, be upright about it. Say, okay, listen, this is a problem. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm not doing that. Be straight up about it. But sitting there with this manipulation tactic now where they're bold-faced lying to you, looking at you on the television, gaslighting you, telling you there's nothing going on right now, everything's perfectly fine, we're giving $100 billion away, your taxpayer money, for your safety and science because it's, you know, it's the safety part of it. We're here to protect you on a regular basis. And by the way, your six-month-old child needs a new COVID booster because it wanes off after 4 months because the shot doesn't work. Actually, we retract that. The shot does work. It's great, safe, and effective. You need to keep getting the booster shot. It's obnoxious. It really is. And I think everybody's starting to get sick of it, and that's another reason why on this show I constantly try to do my best to get the truth out there, and I encourage everyone else to do the same and really start asking questions. Because here's another article that just came out here now. This is an interesting one. This is a Brown University paper that came out discussing the P53 gene. Now, the P53 gene is a gene in the human body that essentially helps stop cancer cell growth and encourages DNA repair. We all have it in our bodies. Some people have it more than others. Some people it's suppressed more than others and so forth. And this is usually what they have found when people have high rates of cancer that they can't fight off. Their P53 gene is basically short. And so essentially what's happened now in this article here, it talks about the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, essentially primarily from the COVID vaccine, potentially promotes cancer by interfering with anti-cancer activities, according to the recent cell study from Brown University. The preprint authors, led by Dr. Waqif Adiri, director of the Cancer Center at Brown University, exposed cancer cells to spike protein subunits. So cancer cells, spike proteins, they found that the spike proteins actually promoted cancer survival and growth by blocking the cancer suppressor gene known as P53. So the spike protein actually blocks P53, which helps fight cancer, meaning invariably the spike protein is helping promote cancer thrive and grow. Now you got to ask yourself a $1 million question. How in the world did this COVID-19 virus, allegedly that jumped from a bat to a human in Wuhan, that was the biggest lie we've ever heard, as we know Wuhan's the one who whipped this thing up in a lab. How in the world did this virus get so advanced that it actually has the ability to suppress P53 genes now and promote cancer growth in the body as an upper respiratory virus. Anybody kind of wonder that question here, how this is such an advanced virus and spike protein they brewed up in a lab as well for the vaccine and told everybody that it produces spike proteins. It makes your body turn into a spike protein manufacturing site, and then suddenly cancer rates are going through the roof. And essentially, this is this article I'm talking about. I'm going to post this on the website. It goes into real detail as far as the scientific aspect about it. I'm not going to go into it all the show because it's just going to get boring when I start going into all that. But why I wanted to bring this up is because now suddenly we're starting to hear and see about all these things about turbo cancers you guys have heard about now, and all these topics that keep getting brought up where they're saying, oh, cancer rates are going through the roof. By 2030, you're going to start seeing 30 to 40% of the population now is going to be coming down with cancer. They're already talking about this. They're already getting stuff prepped now. They're already doing the damage control in advance, and yet nobody's asking the question, why suddenly did you start seeing cancer rates literally bottle rocket after the vaccine was rolled out? Maybe we should ask ourselves the question, what exactly is in that shot, and why does it keep getting worse every time we turn around and keep asking questions about it? Just thought I would bring that question up on here. Also, too, it's interesting as well. I was reading about this article where it's talking about essentially the arrest and the crimes that are starting to explode, and it was asking whether or not they were thinking Chicago, New York, or L.A. was essentially going to fall first. And what's crazy about it is in this article is discussing how the amount of violence essentially that is coming out now from these cities, and that the law enforcement is basically being hamstrung. They're being told essentially they arrest these guys, and these DAs have this zero bond policy now where essentially they're saying now in some of these cities, especially like LA, they're getting so many arrests for so many crimes on a regular basis that essentially majority of the crimes, unless there's something like a homicide, they're not even really keeping them in. They're zero bond. They fingerprint them. They give them a court date. They don't even hold them and hold you for any significant period of time. I know down here in Polk County, Sheriff Grady Judd came out the other day, and he said, if you want to commit crime, don't come to this county. He did another press conference the other day. Don't come to this county. You're not going to be out on $0 bond. You're going to get arrested. You start doing stupid stuff. And that's why it made me laugh when we had that one incident one time in Polk County during 2020 when some BLM terrorists, the Antifa, decided that they were going to do a rally in downtown Lakeland. They attempted – this was funny. I don't know if I brought this story up. So they had said originally they were going to do it in downtown Auburndale where we live. And so, of course, you know, me and about seven or eight other guys that I knew that were all very well-trained in certain tactics, we heard this group was going to be down at the local park. And so what's interesting was I had heard from my sheriff buddies that also, too, that same day, local sheriff's department was going to be operating with some practice with their canine units out on the other side of the park. So we pull up because we hear about this rally is going to be happening. So, of course, we're going to just observe and see what's going on, of course, peacefully. And there's about eight sheriffs out on the other side of this park doing canine training, which they can do. I mean, it's public property, and they're not doing anything crazy or absurd. They're just running with their canines. I'm looking around, and I'm like, geez, this is a lot of canine sheriffs. There's a lot of dogs out here. And so, again, we swoop around to the other side where they're having this rally. And there's, you know, downtown, there's a bunch of these small buildings and stuff. And so we all of us kind of posted up in front of certain buildings. We're all separated far enough as far as for certain specific tactical advantages. And we all sat there and we listened to some of their rhetoric, and none of us said a word. None of us got in anybody's faces. None of us accosted anybody. None of us threatened anybody. We just sat there and chilled out. And it was interesting because later on after the rally dissolved and they started getting a little aggressive, you could tell they were starting to kind of work stuff up. And then you saw a bunch of them and they started looking around. They started kind of elbowing each other. There was probably 60 or 70 of them. And they started elbowing each other and they kind of looked. And they looked around the whole perimeter because Auburndale is kind of a big circle. So we had all these buildings. And like I said, there's probably about a dozen of them out there spread out. And we're all just standing there peacefully, nothing being said, nothing being done, just sitting there. And they all kind of started looking around. They started elbowing each other, and they kind of started talking to each other. And they had about another 15, 20 more minutes from their alley. And then they just all got in their cars, and they left. And I think they realized that that city was not the town that was going to be an operable place to do this in. So fast forward to a week later, and these groups wanted to go do this in downtown Lakeland. Now, I didn't know it was happening in downtown Lakeland time. I was actually out of town getting back into town. And so a couple of my buddies, they went out there, but I didn't end up making out there for that trip because I had some other stuff that was got out of prior engagement. And so downtown Lakeland, pretty much the same scenario happened. Okay. But then they said, we're going to march down to Martin Luther King Drive and down Memorial. And so apparently they decided to do this. This is what Dad talked about. He actually got caught up in part of the traffic jam that was going on. And so these groups, of course, they started marching. And when they got to Memorial, it turned into basically a violent block party. And they started jumping on a couple vehicles. They started basically getting unruly. Not any significant violence, but I mean, they shut down the entire intersection. And Lakeland PD came out there, Lakeland PD, and they tried to handle the situation very poorly, I might add. Not picking on them, just didn't handle right. So, of course, they called Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's Department sent SWAT out. SWAT was out there with their gas masks. They had their A-50s, I think they were running. And they started deploying tear gas. They said, you guys are basically committing violent crimes in the middle of an intersection, preventing people from being able to travel freely unmolested on your way. You guys have 30 seconds to get off the center of the road. We're going to deploy tear gas. Of course, they deployed tear gas, and a lot of them started getting mad. And it was ironic to me because I still remember the story from one of my buddies that was out there. He was watching it, and he said one of these guys that was just being unruly, they started picking up these big rocks they could find on the side of the intersection. And they threw one at SWAT, and it missed SWAT, didn't hit the guys. They kind of stepped out of the way, and it hit the MRAP behind them. I'm not going to give the sheriff's name out. He looked at him, and dude, he just launched a 40-millimeter tear gas right on him. Boom, caught him right in the chest, knocked the guy down on the ground. The guy gets up screaming, yelling. He didn't throw any more rocks, and it was interesting. And, you know, I talked to him about it later on. I was like, man, I said that 40 millimeter is a pretty nasty round to get hit. He's like, yeah, he was about 20, 30 yards away from me. He's like, he wasn't going to kill him. He said, but at the end of the day, he goes, don't throw rocks at people, dude. He's like, this concept eludes so many people in these groups that are doing this. He goes, why do they think they can run around the cities, throw rocks through windows, beat people in the face, drag them out of cars, stomp on people's windshields, and then suddenly walk off and pretend like nothing happened and there's no consequences? He goes, actions have consequences in this younger group that's being involved in this, Antifa and BLM. He goes, they think they're above the law because of what they've done in a lot of cities. And he goes, they're not above the law here. He goes, I don't care who you are. You start throwing rocks at me, that can be deadly force. You get hit with a big old brick upside the head, somebody slinging at you from 10 feet away, and crack your skull open. And so, again, don't do stupid stuff. And if you want to do stupid stuff, you're going to win stupid prizes. And it's just kind of the concept that happens here. And this is what you're starting to see now. Again, what kind of American are you? And what kind of part of the United States is starting to dissolve in these certain factions? And how is it going to be? And that's why, you know, I had a customer the other day email me. They were talking about how essentially the Republican Party is over with. There is no Republican Party. We watched that with this bill that got passed and the speaker and everything else. And essentially what they're doing here now. And this is why it's so important that you really start addressing where you're living at, who you're around, who you're associating with, what groups you're basically linking up with, and other reasons too. Because again, at the end of the day, there's going to be a point in time when you're going to get asked to handle, stand on a certain conviction. Where are you at? You're on this, you're on this. What kind of American are you going to be? And again, make your own decision on that. Also, too, in other news, this is another article came out from Andrea Dosky, and the title of it was a research study. It says, magnesium may help your arthritis. This just popped up on bone, joint, and muscle health. This is pretty cool. And it says anywhere from about half of about as many as 80% of Americans don't get enough essential nutrient such as magnesium. They said magnesium is ultimately involved in over 700 enzymes in the body. Suffering low levels can have significant impact on your health. And then it talks about here, it said one of the characteristics of most common types of arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis is inflammation. Well, arthritis develops when the protective cartilage at the end of your bones and your joints wear down. Even though osteoarthritis traditionally has not been viewed as involving inflammation, researchers have shown that it does indeed have a significant role and needs to be addressed. Rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic progressive condition in which inflammation in the joints typically causes immobility and painful deformities, fingers, feet, ankles, and wrists. It says the amount of magnesium that people consume appear to have an impact on osteoarthritis. According to a study in which 1,626 adults aged 40 to 83 were studied, all the participants had their knees x-rayed and their dietary magnesium intake evaluated. Overall, 25% of the participants had knee osteoarthritis. The relative odds of developing knee arthritis increased as the amount of magnesium intake decreased. At the same time, the amount of joint space narrowing decreased as the amount of dietary magnesium declined as well. The authors concluded that their study supports the potential role of magnesium in the prevention of knee arthritis. Magnesium has also been shown to slow the progression of arthritis in rats. Investigators gave magnesium to rats with induced arthritis and observed that the mineral reduced pain and inflammation at the joints. As the bonus, the scientists found that the magnesium reduced the death of cartilage cells, which in turn slowed the progression of the disease. People with arthritis often come up short on magnesium. Albany Medical College study found that people with active rheumatoid arthritis had diets deficient in magnesium, B6, and zinc. That's why they're so crucial. That's why the ultimate multiple powder that we have is so crucial on a regular basis to take, because it's loaded with all of those. And then you can throw in additional magnesium brain food, like I said, to get more of this magnesium in your body with the magnesium thionate. And it said, while the National Institute of Health recommends 320 milligrams of magnesium a day for women and 420 milligrams for men, most experts say that is extremely low dosed. Even doctors recommend 700 to 1,000 milligrams a day at minimum with supplementation plus food supply. And that's why if you look at the magnesium that we have, one scoop is essentially 1,200 milligrams total. It's 1,000 of the magnesium thionate and a regular 200 of the magnesium glycinate. That right there, that's why we did that, is that one scoop is like a basis minimum. Now, again, I know a lot of customers that end up using 3 and 4 scoops a day, especially for supplemental therapeutic doses when they need to run really high doses of it. Now, most cases, you don't have to keep it at that dose forever. Once you start getting symptoms under control, reduced inflammation under control, muscle spasms, those sort of things, you can start tapering the dosage down. But remember, if you're taking that high a dosage for therapeutic reasons, like 3 or 4 scoops a day, make sure you're taking it throughout the day so it actually has the ability to absorb and get in your system and really get in there. Because if you try to take 4 scoops of this at one time, in a lot of cases what's going to do is just going to cause you to have bowel movements. You're not going to be able to keep all of it in your system because there's going to be so much magnesium, it's going to flush out because you can only absorb so much of it at one time. That's why it's also important, too, if you take it, to take it before or after a meal. That's always a good idea because it actually increases the absorption of magnesium uptake into the body when you take it with food, because your body's treating it as a food source with magnesium and it absorbs it a little bit better, and it also helps process it a little bit better. So again, just something to throw in there. That's why a lot of times I take it by itself while I'm drinking it, as far as when I'm active and I'm working out or in the morning, but I also mix it in with my protein shakes throughout the day. So I usually take about 2 to 3 scoops a day on average. That's just my standard. I'm not telling you that's what you got to take. That's what I take on a regular basis. And I'll tell you right now, if I stop taking it, which I've done before, and I've gone on trips and I've forgotten it, I always notice that my energy isn't quite where it needs to be. And especially if I start training really hard again, I notice that the muscle pumps. I usually don't get spasms or cramps because I still have enough magnesium in my system, my diet. But I notice that the muscle pumps are never as strong when you don't have the proper magnesium in your body. So if you're really trying to exercise, you're trying to stay in shape, you're trying to lean down, you're trying to grow muscle, you're trying to burn body fat, magnesium is, again, another crucial nutrient you got to keep in your body on a regular basis. And that's why it's so important to not base it off, essentially, the doctor's blood works. I told you guys that. Blood work's not going to show up very high in magnesium. It never really is. That's why doctors don't really go with it, because you only see about 1% to 2% bound in blood. Just, you're not going to show any high levels of it. You can get it done. It doesn't hurt to get it done. But again, another way to look at it is basically make sure you take it and how you overall feel with it. Also, to another news as well, there's another article here that's discussing what's going on essentially with the debate about a lot of stuff that people are talking about with D3 and using it on a regular basis because of blood levels. Because I had this question get brought up to me again, where they're talking about high levels of D3, because a lot of doctors say you can get D3 toxic. If you take too much D3, you're going to get D3 toxic. Somebody asked me about 10,000 IUs per day with K2. And I told them, I said, what's your blood levels? I said, are these doctors basing their toxicity reports off your blood levels? Because they're absolutely right to an extent. If you're taking an insane amount of D3, and you go get your blood work checked and you're like at 120 on your D3 levels, that is going to be a little slightly high and it can be toxic. You need to cut the dosage out for a little bit, let your D3 levels come back down to a healthy range. Like I said, usually around 50 to 60 to 70, that range is usually a perfect range for it. That's a great balance. You can maintain that very easily with supplementation. Your immune system is going to be top tier. Your energy is going to be good. A lot of things are going to be very, very healthy on that levels. It's so good that people bring that up all the time, because I know doctors that bring that, well, it's going to be toxic. You wear too much of it, it's going to be toxic, 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 toxic. Again, look at your actual blood levels, because anytime I've seen people, I've only seen one person that I know of, one person, there was a customer, and they were doing as a therapeutic dosage because of a certain disease that they were battling, and they were running about 50,000 IUs of the D3K2 every day. 50,000, that's 5 capsules a day. That is not a recommended dosage that I tell people to take on a regular basis. They were taking that. They were taking it for about 2 months on end, like nonstop, religiously every day. Granted, the disease that they were fighting, they were able to fight it off. And they got their blood work back. Their blood was like at 98 on their D3 levels, which is still not crazy toxic, but again, it's starting to get up there. However, they were able to fight off the specific disease that they were fighting that was a very difficult one to fight, and they were actually able to do it successfully. So again, you got to balance it out properly. I know, like when we talked about before, I've known individuals that essentially when they've been pregnant and they need to take it. Most cases, pregnant females need to be on at least 10,000 IUs a day with K2, period, every single day. Sometimes up to 20,000. Because when you're making a baby and they're taking all those nutrients, you've got to be adding in supplemental magnesium all the time. You've got to be adding supplemental D3, supplemental folate, the 5-MTHF, the supplemental prenatals. Because if you want to have the absolute healthiest baby you possibly can with the best immune system, the best cognitive functioning, and the best development, you've got to give them the raw materials. And that's why I love getting emails from customers that have run some of the products and a lot of the prenatals and the nutrients during the pregnancy, and they give me these praise reports about having an amazing pregnancy or amazing baby, and the baby's doing super healthy, and they're not shooting the baby up with a bunch of toxins and the, you know, from the doctor's office with these vaccines. And I love hearing it, because I know, again, that it makes a difference with what we do here at Health Masters. And again, that's why I thank you so much for supporting Health Masters on a regular basis. Also, too, this is kind of a lighter article here. And a question that you really got to ask yourself, and I'm just bringing this up here because I've noticed now these things are starting to get very ingrained in people's lifestyles. And it says how wearables can impact your health. This is an interesting article. It says computers have become intimately tied to modern life and how a relationship grown too close. And it says computers have been tied to modern life more than we even want to admit now. Something that considers the age of wearables. As the name suggests, computers weren't close to the body. They often connect wirelessly to the internet and take several forms. We have rings, bracelets, glasses, watches, electronic tattoos now. The list goes on. The technology is much more than a high-tech fashion statement. Medical biosensors can be embedded in clothing, even implanted inside your body to track, record, and analyze what's going on inside you. Article published in the journal Digital Medicine defines wearables as a sensor unencumbered by wires for the continuous detection of biosignals, analytics, biomechanical, and impact forces for monitoring human health and performance. Such wearables, such as smartwatches, give you a few things to do, like the opportunity to flip through your favorite songs or check the latest weather forecast. In most cases, however, you're not meant to consciously engage with the technology for it to do its job. You just wear the device, go about your day, and they work in the background. The tech industry sees wearables as a big area for growth, and it is. Currently, about a third of the adult population uses some type of wearable. And as you might expect, most users as younger 18 to 44 are the ones that use those the biggest for projected growth towards those. And so essentially they ask you why wearables. Oh, you want to track your steps and calories you burn, your health data, and collect and analyze and fitness trackers and chart your exercise progress. And the list goes on and on and on and down the line. Now, let me put this clear out there. If it's something you're using to maintain, if you're doing, you know, specific exercise and cardio and you're wanting to see how many calories you burn, the heart rate, and you're monitoring that stuff and you need to use it for that, by all means, it can be a pretty effective strategy and tool to use that in. However, it goes way past that, because now I know people that literally they monitor how they sleep at night and they wake up in the morning and see how good of sleep they got and how many times they got up to go do this, or they woke up in the middle of the night and they monitor this throughout the day. Well, the problem with this is now they're starting to find not only the effects of having this RFID radiation all day, people wearing rings and wearing AirPods and wearing a watch, and all of a sudden you've got 4, 5, 6 wearables on you throughout the day, which all broadcasting a little bit of radio frequency or a little bit of, you know, radiation frequency, which in most cases probably isn't going to do anything crazy in short term. However, what's the long-term effects going to be of this? And then secondly, they said for the health benefits wearables claim to offer, there's also evidence that suggests these devices are not so healthy. For some example, individuals find all this personal data overwhelming. Some studies show that health tracking actually contributes to addiction and obsession over it, along with anxiety. The National Institute of Health found a study in 2020 found that although wearables can motivate people to engage in healthy behavior, they may inadvertently contribute to pathological symptom monitoring and impaired function. The study looked at patients essentially that were going and wearing all these excessive cardiac monitoring and wearable devices. They found anxiety was prevalent among that population, leading to higher symptom burden, higher heart rate, and worsened quality of life, and increase of healthcare consumption. So again, I'm not knocking all of this, but I do tell you one thing. The privacy aspect's another aspect of it. Radiation is exposure, but allowing these consumers to essentially have their material and their health data related, it's bad. Anytime you get these devices, when you link them up, you have to agree to the terms and conditions. Every single one of these that I've ever read through, they give approval. You're giving them approval to go in now and start looking at every single thing you do, to sell everything you do, everywhere you go, what your heart rate is, your activity, and they sell it to third-party, basically, marketers. This is becoming, I bring this up all the time, this is becoming a gigantic industry, and it is far more invasive than you ever understand with the data mining and file building that they're putting on every single person. So again, if you want to use some of this stuff, it's completely up to you. My personal opinion, I wouldn't use it unless I'm trying to monitor stuff. I don't even have any of those iWatches. If I was going to use one, I would use one primarily probably when I'm training to time things, look at heart rate, look at overall calories, and monitor things like that, especially if I was like really into athletic sport and I wanted to time stuff. I get that. But as far as running the stuff all day long, my opinion, I'd stay away from it. That's just my two cents on it. So you guys do what you want. I'll put the article on that on the website as well so you guys can read about it. So again, my friends, be sure to keep getting the truth out there every single day. It's what we do on this show. It's what I continue to try to do every day for you guys at Health Masters. That's why we're bringing all this stuff out. I do have great news later on this week. I do have confirmation. We'll find out because I'm trying to make sure. I don't want to give anybody get too excited, but we do have the first small batch of the purple sticks en route right now. I'll keep you guys posted this week. Essentially, on this show, you'll know when they're in stock because I'm going to have a giant pile of them stacked about this high because I know everybody wants to see them. I want to use them. Everybody in the office wants to use them. Just about everybody around town wants to use them because everybody wants a clean, healthy energy product that doesn't have a bunch of sucralose and high fructose corn syrup and food coloring and aspartame and every other nasty thing under the sun. So be excited about it. I'm so excited to let everybody try them. I want to get everybody's feedback. Once they come out, also too, please do me that favor. We're going to post them on Team Health Masters. Give me some feedback on them when you get on there. So again, thank you again for healthmasters.com and the support. You guys be sure to check out the Magnesium Brain Food on sales product of the week at healthmasters.com for over 10% off. Check it out and vote for what you want to see win tomorrow as well. Vitamin C or the Healthy Test Stack. Both of those are neck and neck on there. So stock up on that for tonight. And you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friends. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.